I'm moving him to our Scranton facility.
Dr. Wimmer, you can't risk transporting him through open country.
His unique ability to regenerate lost and damaged tissue, and it cries out for more research.
Cryogenic breach. Emergency lockdown.
Can someone tell me what's on his face?
Some kind of 20th century carbon filtration unit?
It's a hockey mask. How does he function with a brain that small?
Way manages.
He's been a naughty little boy.
I have.
It's gonna take more than a poke in the ribs to put down this old dog. Yeah, that ought to do it.
Guys, it's okay. He just wanted his machete back.
All right, look, how do we get off the ship?
I don't know.
Well, could you beam us off or something?
Beam us off?
Hey, you want a beer?
Or do you want to smoke something hot?
Or we can have premarital sex.
We love premarital sex.
What the hell is going on?
Jason fucking Voorhees, that's what's going on.
Hi, this is Russell Todd from Chopping Mall, He Knows You're Alone in Friday the 13th Part 2, and you're listening to The Hysteria Continues.
And indeed you are. Welcome back to The Hysteria Continues. This is episode 148, and this time we're going to be circling Uranus as we cover Jason X. What? Did I hear a titter in the background?
But you said a word that was kind of bold.
I did. Okay, but I'm also obviously... we are known, or we have been known for our double entendres, but we are joined by the king of the double entendre, Gore Blimey, from Trilogy of Terror, sorry, put my teeth back in, podcast. So we're very pleased to have Gore Blimey with us. Gore, how are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing all right, thanks.
Excellent. Well, that wasn't very rude. Anyway,
no.
Say something
sorry.
Rude.
Say something rude. Come on.
Do a sentence with knob in it or something.
There'll be plenty of time to fit one in later.
Yeah.
So we'll come on to you later, Gore. But
he's going to give it to us later.
Yes.
His opinions on Jason X.
Exactly. It's going to be one of those shows. So, Eric, how are you doing?
I am awesome.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad.
And sexy.
Well, yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Hey.
A little too much information. Nathan, how are you doing?
I have no shirt on.
Oh.
I'm doing very well today, Justin.
Oh, and Nathan has got a new oral device, haven't you?
Yes, it's big and black. And the microphone.
The microphone, exactly. So have you enjoyed using it?
Yes, I've used it when I did Made for TV Mayhem.
Excellent. Well, you sound fantastic. And Joseph, you've got a new thing in your hand as well, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's only taken us 148 episodes to come up to the professional standards that we are now known for. Joseph, you're good?
Yeah.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear it. And Gore, how are you doing? We're very pleased to have you on the show because we're big fans of your show, which Eric's guested on, and I think I might be coming up a little bit later at some point.
You are. You're going to be popping up soon as well, yeah.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, you haven't listened to Trilogy of Terror podcast, then, you know, please do. And I think every time you do, do you want to explain a little bit about your podcast, Gore? What is the idea behind it?
Yeah, what it is I just pick a director, a horror director, each time, and then just look at three of their films, really, and that's basically it, really. But in between the main episodes, I sometimes get someone in to do an interview or look at something connected with the director, or something like that. But yeah, it's mainly looking at a director each time and three of their films.
Or in the case of the episode I was on, four.
True, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
There are exceptions, obviously. That one was four completely different directors. Yeah.
Well, let's not argue about details.
We did Friday the 13th, 1 to 4. So, This is why I thought Gore would be a prime candidate to come on and talk about Jason X.
I know. Aren't you lucky to come on to the one of the best sequels in the franchise? Or am I joking?
You're preempting there.
Yes. Well, we'll see.
Don't assume to know what everyone's opinion.
I know.
On Jason
X. True. That is absolutely true. No, I shouldn't preempt people's reaction to the classic Jason X. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on. But before we do that, in time honoured tradition, we shall talk about what we've been watching recently, because we haven't actually recorded for over a month. But through the magic of the internet, well, we've only been about 3 or 4 weeks late anyway, so we have been away for a little while, but we're obviously glad to be back. And also, for our dear Patreon listeners, I finally got out of that Spanish jail and edited the Werewolf Woman Patreon pick, which should be up. When is that going up, Joseph? When are you going to stick it up?
You whore.
The Werewolf Woman episode is now online, so you can go listen to that at your leisure.
Exactly, and exactly. And Eric overdid himself. No, he outdid himself with his intro. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's definitely worth a listen.
Full of you whores and you bitch and other rude words.
Yeah. So I had a lot of fun with that one. But we'll tell you what we're doing next time a little bit later in the show. But as our guest, Gore, do you want to tell us what you've been laying your eyes on recently?
Right. Yeah. Well, the thing is, lately I have actually come into the 21st century and I splurged on a new Blu-ray player. So, yeah, which doesn't mean I bought a load of Ryan Reynolds films, in case you're wondering. It's not that. So I've been looking at some of my old favourites and looking at them on Blu-ray, which has been quite good fun. So I've seen three of them so far. One was Demons, which is one of my big favourite 80s horror films. So I love that because it's just such fun and it's gory and it's got completely absurd set pieces, like helicopters dropping through the ceiling.
Hey, that happens all the time at Cineworld in Dublin.
But it was really good because looking at it on a Blu-ray, there were lots of little bits and pieces that I hadn't actually seen before because it was so dark on the VHS and the DVD. So Demons was one. It was quite a nice one to watch. I also watched Splinter, which is one that it always surprises me that not more people know about it, because it's such a low-budget film with it's got about six people in the cast and it's one location. But not many people seem to know it, and it's such a well-made little film, and it's so creepy, and it seems to be practical most of the time for the effects and things. And the way the infected bodies that get this parasite, the way they move and everything, is just so incredibly creepy. It's really worth seeing for that. So that's an old favourite that I watched as well. And the other one I watched is not really a scary film. It's a different kind of horror, I suppose you'd say, is Xanadu. So you've got Olivia Newton-John as a muse roller skating around in frilly tablecloths. It's not really a good film, but it is the film that it went on. It went on to inspire the Razzie Awards and all that. But I mean, it's got an ELO soundtrack. It's incredibly kitsch. I love it. It's one of those films for me. It's like a comforting film to enjoy. You know, you sit back on a comfy armchair and put your feet up on a puff and just enjoy it.
Well, I think Nathan, aren't you a big fan of Xanadu, or is that Eric?
It's me, obviously.
Oh, sorry.
I love Xanadu.
But
I haven't seen it.
You've never seen it?
No. Looked futuristic to me, and you guys know how I feel about futuristic
films. No, it's not futuristic.
You look at the clothes in that, you will not say it's futuristic.
No.
Okay.
No.
Leg warmers are not going to be futuristic. No.
No.
They may come back.
Well, they may. So may Olivia Newton-John's career, but no.
And Michael Beck's. I saw you commenting on his acting abilities in Xanadu on Twitter.
I'm saying nothing. So that was mine, yes.
Well, Nathan, if you want to watch Olivia Newton-John and Gene Kelly go roller skating around a rink for 2 hours, then it's a great film.
Hey, there's more to it than that. She flies off in space and sings a few songs as well with a ready brick glow around her body.
That is true.
So it is futuristic.
No, it's not.
She flies into space.
No, but that's because she's magic and stuff, not because she's in a spaceship.
Have you seen The Apple, Nathan? Because that's a space.
Oh, yeah. I really want to see that.
The Apple is quite like Xanadu, yes.
It's very like Xanadu.
A lot common.
No. I saw the Riff Tracks version of The Apple, which is very hilarious, by the way.
I actually saw The Apple on the big screen at Revival. So I wasn't that old. I'm not so old. I saw it at the cinema, Eric.
Yeah. I was about to say. 1980. Yeah.
But yes, well, thank you, Gore. Thank you for sharing. That that all sounds marvellous. And it's great to see stuff on Blu-ray, isn't it? I've kind of like, I bought a new TV and it's kind of got 4K. It's kind of, I haven't got a 4K player, but I'm quite tempted with the new Suspiria is going to be coming out on 4K. Some of the 4K.
I'm looking forward to seeing that actually, because that's on, they're showing that at this year's Celluloid Screams up in Sheffield. Going up to that. So I'm looking forward to seeing that, the Suspiria, the 4K.
Yeah, I'd love to see it. It's not showing anywhere near me, but. I've noticed 4K on Netflix. Get Netflix 4K, and everything looks a little bit too sharp. So I'm wondering actually whether or not sticking to Blu-ray might be better. I don't know. But anyway, enough of techno geeking. Nathan, what have you been watching?
I watched one called Crazy Lake. It's just about a group of friends going to a lake, and
that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's insane. And they're getting killed off one by one. I mean, it was okay. It's you know, unfortunately, I probably find it to be very forgettable, as I don't remember a lot about it now. But I do remember thinking that sometimes the music seemed out of place. Like, there's a couple getting hacked up in the beginning in a tent. And I felt that the music sounded more like what you would hear at a rave. Not that I've been to a rave, but it just didn't feel like it fit the scene very well, you know?
Would it have been sort of better with the Benny Hill music?
Well, no, I was thinking, you know, something more along the lines of Don't Go in the Woods, or because I like that music. Well, and I also like Slumber Party Massacre soundtrack.
That stuff in Don't Go in the Woods is music?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
It has a certain frisson. I'll give it that.
It's in two separate movies. It's also in Frozen Scream.
Oh, yes. We were talking about this in the last episode, I think.
Mm-hmm. The only other... Well, I mean, I've seen a lot, but the only other one I thought we probably could all talk about, because I don't think I did last time, was I did see It in the theater, and I really thought it was great. I mean, it was exactly what I was looking for. I thought all the kids did very, very well in it. You know, it took me a little bit to get used to the new version of It, because it's not the same as Tim Curry's, obviously, but I still really liked it, and I'm looking forward to the next film. I thought there was a few, like, you know, fairly scary set pieces, and it actually did make me jump a few times, so that's always a plus.
Did you spot the Toya poster?
Where is this going? I haven't seen it, so I don't know what this joke is referenced to.
I don't know what poster you're referring to, but I know there wasn't an actual toy poster.
There was something with red hair and an awful lot of makeup on in it.
Don't you start bullying me too, or I'll hang up on you.
Yeah, that's very true. No, but my mistake. There wasn't a toy poster, but there was a Susie and the Banshees poster. So they're going for an iconic axe from the late 80s.
No wonder that film is so crap.
What film?
Yeah, what film, Eric?
Yes.
But, well, no, you haven't seen good. It yet, so you can't comment. But Gore, you've seen it, haven't you?
Yeah. I saw it, and I hadn't seen the 90s version, and I hadn't read the book, so I went to it without really knowing anything about it, apart from there's a clown. So that's about all I knew. So I went into it completely blind, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a lot better than I expected, actually.
Oh, why don't you just marry Justin then, if that's where you're going
to
be?
What have I got to do with the film It? I mean, it's going to... I mean, I say my piece.
He's supporting your Susie and the Banshees jibe by saying he likes It.
I never said anything about Susie and the Banshees. I'm talking about the film.
Yeah, he just said there was some scary, scary monster with red hair and red lips. So I don't know what that's got to do with Toya.
Leave me alone.
But Joseph, you've not seen it, have you?
I have not seen it. I'm going to wait until probably Netflix or something. I'm just, I can't get interested enough to go to the cinema.
Yeah, I'm with Joseph on this. I know it's done huge business, like incredible business worldwide, but I still can't get the enthusiasm together. But I will say one thing about It starring Tim Curry, and that it was hot. Tim Curry, he was hot in it.
Oh, well, if we ever did a niche track. Yeah, let me just
Was that the joke of the spice. Week? He brought a lot of spice to that role. No, I've got even better joke again.
Oh, God, I thought that was it. I thought we'd finish with it.
No, the joy's not over yet. Don't worry.
Okay.
But anyway, enough of you Debbie Downers, because I saw it as well, and I quite enjoyed it. And I loved the book. I read the book, and it was one of my favourite Stephen King books. And I really liked the Tim Curry version. And I thought this one was done really, really well. I mean, I think it is a real crowd pleaser. And there were some creepy moments in there. And obviously, the thing they changed from the book, which I think made perfect sense, was the book was set, the first part of the book was set in the 1950s, but they changed the remake to the 1980s. So when they do the 27 years later for the next episode, it will be modern day. So I thought it was really well done. I mean, it's not groundbreaking, and it's a crowd pleaser, but it was definitely worth seeing on the big screen. So, and I thought I was
really impressed with the acting, actually, because normally when you think child actor, is usually that's a bit of a contradiction in terms, but actually they were really good, the kids in this.
Yeah, no, they were very good. I mean, there was the one of the kids from Stranger Things, wasn't there? He was.
I've not seen Stranger Things. That. Okay,
yeah, but he was in it as well, which kind of made. I think that's also possibly they had the eye on the prize really by setting it in the 1980s. So, but yeah, no, it was good. But thank you, Nathan. Is there anything else you've watched?
No, I'll save it for next time.
Okay, right. Well, thank you, Joseph. How about you?
Yeah, just a couple of things. I watched a film from 1996 called Listen. I'd seen this movie many, many years ago. It's basically about a girl who moves into an apartment building, and after she and her boyfriend have intimacy issues, she starts kind of eavesdropping on phone calls, and she basically hears a murder, and she thinks it may have something to do with a phone sex line. It's a really, really trashy version of, I'd say, Apartment Zero or Basic Instinct, which were both pretty trashy in their own right. But I enjoyed it. It's just really kind of late night cable, guess the killer, who's the murderer. You will be surprised when the murderer is revealed, although I was not, I guess, that halfway through. But a fun little kind of B-movie watch. I assume none of you have even heard of it, let alone seen it.
No. I haven't heard of Listen, no. There's another joke for you.
Oh, my God.
God. I'm just... Was that the one? Was that the joke?
No, there's yet more to come.
Still coming.
Don't cry.
I can't use up all my sound bites, sound clips, yeah. Eric. So, sorry, Joseph. So that was... I haven't heard of Listen.
Hey, you're robbing my joke.
That's a chair. I know. Oh, anyway, they're so good, Eric. They bear repeating.
Exactly.
So anything else, Joseph?
Yes, speaking of box office phenomena, I finally caught up with Purge Election Year. As you know, that budget was $10 million, and it grossed over $100 million. I thought it was well-made and... I guess entertaining enough, but it just really felt like they were just kind of repeating themselves. It really reminded me a lot of the second film with the whole, they're basically going through the city trying to, you know, elude people on Purge Night. This one has a lot of kind of political undertones. And I really don't care for that because I watch films to escape the reality of our crappy political system right now. So, I mean, that stuff really didn't kind of interest me all that much. You know, having said that, you know, it's well acted. There's some exciting set pieces, but I think the Purge idea is kind of getting played out a little bit. I definitely prefer the second film the most, even the first one over this one. But I mean, it was a good one time watch, but it's just kind of, I don't know, been there, done that, I'm afraid.
Okay. I've not seen that yet. So I don't know, Nathan, I expect you've seen it.
Yes, I saw it. I loved it. I thought it was so good because one thing I like about the Purge movies, and this one was no exception, is they just feature like very rewarding kills. Like there are at least two characters like in these movies that you know, you absolutely hate and can't wait to see them get their comeuppance. And when it happens, it's very rewarding. And I like movies like that where people kind of get what they deserve. And The Purge has these like punk teenagers that, you know, keep hassling the store clerk. So I was ready for their comeuppance. I was very excited for that. One thing I will say is I think out of the Purge movies, the second one is the best because I actually felt the second one was very unpredictable. Whereas the third one, I felt it was kind of predictable. I could kind of tell from the beginning who would probably live and die. But in the second one, you know, that's one thing it's got going for it is I had no idea, you know, who was going to live or die in it. So that's kind of my thoughts on The Purge is, oh, and part one, I love part one. I know a lot of people don't, but I thought it was great. It's one of those trilogies that I love all three films, really.
Cool. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you, Nathan. Joseph, is there anything else you want to tell us about?
No, that's it for this week.
Okay. Thank you very much. Just very quickly, I caught up with Split, the M. Night Shyamalan. What?
Split.
Well, it's this name of the film, Joseph.
I know. I've seen Split. I know what you're talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Well, you're probably the only one who has. But out of us four. Anyway, sorry. So we're going back on track. I quite enjoyed it. I mean, if you don't know, it's a story of a man with 23 personalities who kidnaps three teenage girls and holds them captive. And then he oscillates between different personalities and they're trying to escape from him. And it kind of goes, it kind of, I would say, kind of veers into slasher movie territory now and then throughout it. James McAvoy, I think, is really good in what is potentially could have been quite a laughable role because he has to sometimes play, you know, very differing characters from like an 8-year-old boy to a, like a school mom to sort of all sorts of different sort of characters. And but I must admit, I did have a couple of sherbets, but I must admit, I wasn't entirely sure if there was a twist or not at the end of the movie.
There is.
Yes.
Is there?
It's, well, I don't really want to say it, but it's
connects it to another film, yeah, basically.
Yes.
But I didn't, I mean, is that a twist or just like a little reference?
Well, I just wasn't expecting it. I'm assuming
it's more of a surprise and not really a twist on the plot.
Yeah, true.
Kind of
true.
A surprise.
Yeah.
Are you talking about what he manifested his the way he manifested his?
No, he meets illness. A character at the very end.
Yeah. Oh, that. Well, that was yeah. No, I remember that bit, but I thought that wasn't. But I was expecting a bigger, some other sort of like big reveal that another character was really him and all the other characters but, multiple personality or something like that. But it didn't really happen.
I think basically the reveal is that this movie is more or less a sequel to another M. Night Shyamalan film, and they don't want you to know it till that. That last moment.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Right. So, okay. Right. Well, anyway, that was, I saw that. The other thing I'll just very quickly mention, I watched, sort of binge watched on Netflix was the Mist TV series, which, you saw that, Joseph, or?
Well, I saw the first episode and like half of the second, I couldn't really get into it. I just they hid the monsters in the first episode. I seem to recall, and I just seemed like it seemed like the characters were just kind of, you know, blindly wandering out into the mist like a bunch of morons. But I may go back and watch it, but I hear it's been canceled after the first season.
I think it probably has. I mean, it did actually. I thought it got better as it went along. But it was different. Well, it was very similar, but very it was different from the film. Whereas in the film, it was literally like sci-fi, big monsters and Cthulhu type sort of Lovecraftian kind of monsters coming through a rift in time or space or whatever it was. But in this, it was people who were being killed by their worst fears. So it wasn't really any aliens or any kind of monsters in this particularly. But,
oh well, then you just saved me a few episodes in.
Yeah, but no,
I wanted more monsters.
But it got more and more twisted, and it got more and more perverse and twisted as it went on, which I quite liked. I would say it wasn't as safe as it could be. You know, it went places that you know some darker places you'd only see in Eric's
like Iceland.
Yes, like Iceland. What, the supermarket?
Well, anyway, nice.
That would only be a joke. The only joke that would work for us, yeah, us Brits. But anyway,
yeah.
But the three of us. But yeah, it was okay. I mean, it was a good time waster. But it's some weird. It kind of it got weird and some genuinely nightmarish sequences later on. So it might be worth a watch. But as you say, it got cancelled. But then having said that, I'm not to completely opposed to and can, you know, having to endless series. You know, just for the sake of it, just for ratings and money, it's better if things kind of, you know, stop. So,
Justin, on an earlier episode, you said they were making a sequel to the slasher series, and I wasn't sure. I thought it had been canceled, but yes, you were right. Have you heard about the slasher Guilty Party?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I've heard about it. It's got nothing to do with the original. It's kind of a standalone series, isn't it? It's a bit like American Horror Story or...
Yeah. It's basically, they're going to release it to Netflix October 17th, I believe it is. It's basically a bunch of guys and girls go to a camp or a resort or some sort like that in the snow, and they start getting picked off by a murderer. I mean, the previews look a lot better than the first series, so I'm actually really excited about that.
Okay, no, it sounds perfect, doesn't it? Yeah, so yeah, looking forward to that. So anyway, from snowy results with a mad killer, what?
Nobody's asked me what I've recently
said. You didn't ask, Eric.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, brushing over that.
Ahem.
Straight on to Jason X. Anyway, Eric, what have you been watching?
Okay, I really only
we've all
watched,
been dying to find out.
What's that? Sorry?
I say we've all been dying to find out.
Yeah, I watched Touch of Death then, which is an 88 films Blu-ray that's come out recently. This is the 1988 Lucio Fulci movie, one I hadn't seen before. This one stars Brett Halsey as a middle-aged psychopath Lothario who seduces rich women and then kills them. And I think the film had production problems by the looks of it, because sometimes he's a cannibal, sometimes he's not. He seems to prey on women who have weird facial disfigurements for some reason, and that's not really explained why. And there's just tons of slapstick and silly humor littered throughout the film. So it's a real mishmash of different styles and tones. Having said that, I find it quite watchable, but I think it would be an acquired taste for people who like those kind of late 80s Fulci movies where he was, I suppose, slumming it on sort of low budgets. But this is one of the films that he recycled later in Cat in the Brain, aka Nightmare Concert. So all the gore scenes will be familiar if you've seen that film. So, but yeah, I quite liked it. Not one I'd probably return to very often, though. And as I said, an acquired taste if you like those sort of film mirage style Italian movies from the late 80s when things were sort of on the wane.
I'm not a big fan of the later Lucio Fulci things. I thought Cat in the Brain was terrible, but I might, if I saw it again, I think I was probably measuring it against some of his earlier stuff, but I thought it was
There we go.
Yeah.
Thankfully, this isn't a video podcast because who knows what, especially Eric's.
Is that what it was? I thought you were eating a sausage roll or something. I didn't know what that was on the screen.
A sausage roll. But sausage rolls, well, I'm vegan for a start. And anyway,
well, a Linda McCartney sausage roll.
Well, all right, a cheesy roll thing. I don't know.
No, cheese is not vegan friendly either.
Vegan either.
Oh yeah,
but sausage rolls are rolls.
There is vegan cheese, but yeah.
Yeah, but sausage rolls are like stubby little things. We're not around Eric's house, so
you haven't seen my monster hot dog.
So, anyway, what else have you been watching, Eric?
Okay, the only other thing, and this is slightly off topic and slightly on a tangent, but this is a subject very close to my heart and also to Joseph and Nathan and I think Gore Blimey as well. But whilst I was on the beach in Spain on my holidays, I read The Disaster Artist, which is actor-producer Greg Sestero's account of working on the infamous 2003 film The Room. And so I know it's not a horror film, but I've mentioned before that the film The Room is very much a kindred spirit to Fatal Frames, in my opinion. It looks like it could have come from the same filmmakers because it has that kind of vibe. And the book was just so entertaining, so fascinating, really funny and quite moving in places as well. And just astonishing that this man had $6 million and came up with a film that looked like The Room, which looks like it cost $6. But there's an upcoming movie based on this book with James Franco and his brother Dave Franco as the two leads. And it's the word of mouth so far is that it's astonishingly good. So I'm really, and I was saying to Joseph on Facebook a week or so ago that this is the first time I've been looking forward to a non-horror or non-sci-fi film for donkey's years. I don't know how long it's been, but yes, I'm really
definitely an opening night film for me. Oh, I can't wait to see Disaster Artist. It's going to be so great. I know
it looks brilliant. Well, as I said, non-horror, but it has kind of, it's kind of a B-movie thing, so it's slightly tangential, I suppose.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's bullshit. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Eric.
I actually could not get Wes to watch The Room, but then I showed him the trailer for The Disaster Artist, and so he was willing to watch The Room at that point. And
was he going over?
He's going to watch The Disaster Artist, just because The Room is just, I mean, it really does feel like it takes place in some weird parallel universe, because they'll talk about one thing and then in the middle of the sentence go to something totally different. And I love Lisa so much.
Yeah, I know.
I like Lisa loves you as a friend, as a human being.
Yeah.
I love, I forgot to tell you, I went to the doctor. I definitely have breast cancer.
And then they just gloss over the rest of the film.
It's never mentioned again.
Yeah. I really want to see that, the film about it. I'm really looking forward to it. Although, unlike Joseph, I'm not that drawn to an opening in the same way, but I'll go ahead and see it.
Well, I'm drawn to a lot of openings, Gore.
So we hear.
I've still not seen The Room. So
I mean,
Justin, really?
Yeah. No, Justin, you had to coerce me to watch Showgirls, because I always had this vision that Showgirls would be really boring because it was sort of over 2 hours long, and then I was completely won over, and I was thinking, oh my god, why didn't I watch this 20 years ago? This is how you'll feel about The Room, I think. I'm sure
it will be. I'm sure it will be. Is it on Netflix or anything like that, or is it?
No, you have to.
You have to buy this one. Tommy Wiseau sells it, like you could probably get it elsewhere, but it's only for sale.
Yeah, you can't get it legally in the UK or Ireland, so you'll have to import it from the States or go to Baby Jesus sites.
Okay, right. Well, thank you, Eric. Is there anything else you want to regale us with?
That's it.
Nope. Okay, well, buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride, said to Eric. Nobody else said to Eric ever, but it's time.
Are you trying to say that Eric's bumpy,
Or not bumpy? Well, I don't know. It's probably I've heard he's quite a smooth ride, actually.
Really?
So
he's a slow ride.
Yeah,
slow ride. Okay. Anyway, I don't. None of that made any sense. So here is the trailer for Jason X, and Eric, you're going to bring us back in.
Yes, I will indeed.
Okay.
In the year 2455, on a routine training mission, a team of students is about to discover a life form frozen in time.
Wow.
They're on their way back. The Pepper Ducky and power up the lab.
You brought him on board?
Everything's under control, ma'am.
What the hell is going on?
Jason Voorhees, that's what's going on.
He's an unstoppable killing machine.
Guys, it's okay. He just wanted his machete back.
How do we get off the ship?
I don't know. Look, we're gonna be all right.
What? Are you high?
Uh-oh.
He's here.
You have got to get them out of there.
Hey, Slappy!
I think we're finally okay.
What the hell is that?
You've got to be kidding me. Oh, wow.
It's been modified.
Oh, you think?
You guys might want to run.
I don't think he's out there.
Why don't you just stick your head out and have a peek?
Let the boys, let the boys, let the boys.
If you're looking for terror, here comes a perfect 10. In the year 2455, on a routine training mission, a team of students is about to learn a terrifying lesson. Through the years, Jason Voorhees has claimed over 200 victims. Now the legendary killer from Crystal Lake is back, hurtling through space and hunting new prey. Jason X is a nerve-shredding thriller loaded with spectacular special effects, high-tech weapons, and new ways to die. Jason X is a horrifying hoot and a half, easily the most satisfying and entertaining of the series. So says Anthony Timpone from Fangoria. So, yes, the best and most satisfying and entertaining of the series. Would you agree, Gore Blimey, for Jason X?
Right. Well, hang on a second. Sorry, just spitting out my cough sweet there. I've got a bit of a tickly throat, you see. Oh. And I thought, well, I could have swallowed it, but I thought probably best if I spit it out on this case. Anyway, yeah.
He's being rude.
Not at all.
For goodness sake, this is filth.
Yes.
Jason X, well, you may never want to invite me on here again, but actually, I quite enjoyed this. I don't know how that's going to go with the rest of you, but it's very silly. I get that. It's set in space, so it's really silly. But I think there's a bit of a trend to do sequels in space if you look back at other films. So especially Four Hearts, funnily enough, Critters, Leprechaun and Hellraiser, I think they all their fourth parts were all set in space. And when you compare it to those, it's actually not too bad in comparison. Most of it set in the 25th century, which is the same time as Buck Rogers. I was quite disappointed that the android in this one doesn't say Biggie Biggie and all that sort of stuff. But if you do remember Twiggy or Twiggy, whatever it was called.
Twiggy's a model. Tweaky was Buck Rogers' robot.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Biggie Biggie Biggie.
That's it. Well, if you remember that, she does have a very similar haircut to it.
Better boobs,
doesn't she? Yeah.
It's quite cheesy. The futuristic sci-fi stuff is really, really cheesy. So people saying, like, what's a hockey mask and the nanotechnology sticking someone's arm back on and stuff like that. It's all very cheesy. But on the other hand, some of that I quite liked. I liked the androids when her nipples dropped off. That made me laugh. That was quite funny.
That's always happening to me.
Yeah. and it might be a super futuristic spacecraft, but there's a lot of knitwear going on. I don't know if that's something to pass the time when they're on long space flights or something. But I just imagine they probably got storerooms with spacesuits and phasers and laser guns and a few hundred balls of chunky knit or something on there. But and the other thing I quite liked, which other people probably hate, is the virtual reality Crystal Lake thing. I when I first saw that, I thought that was really funny. With the original music and the girls saying that we love premarital sex and showing the boobs and the sleeping bags. It's all very, very silly, but, you know, I thought that was quite funny. A couple of really good kills in it for me. There was the liquid nitrogen killing, which they sort of borrowed that a bit later on in the Mindhunters film with Christian Slater, his leg. That was quite a good sequence. I thought that was pretty good. I thought it was quite tense. I liked that she was all banging on the glass and people the other side couldn't hear her, although that did remind me a lot of Ripley in the Aliens film, but I'll mention that again in a minute, because there was a scene when she was locked in the lab with Newt and a load of face huggers. I thought the special effects for that were really good, although I was quite impressed that Jason knew all about chemistry and what liquid nitrogen can do and all that. And the other one I thought was quite good was when there was somebody falling onto a giant screw thread drill thing and then slowly rotated down it as they slid down it, which was sort of fun and all that. I thought it was quite well filmed, especially the first half. I liked the lighting and the camera angles and things. I thought was pretty good. CGI, there's a lot of it in there. I thought it was mostly okay, apart from the nano things when they run over people's bodies. I didn't think that worked, but the rest I thought was okay. Good Foley with the sounds of breaking necks and gooey noises and stuff. And the humour, some of it's a bit cringy, some of it's dark, and it was okay. The other thing that's good about this is you can have a bit of fun trying to spot all the alien and aliens bits in it. So we've got, like, the synthetic human. You've got someone wants to keep the dangerous monster alive for profit. And there's a scene with the grunts. They're referred to as getting killed off one by one, which is just like a scene in Aliens. And there's someone saying, get your people out of there, and they're all being killed off by the monster or monsters. And there's even a character called Dallas in there, which was one of the main characters in Alien. So loads of Alien or Aliens references spotted through there. As for Uber Jason, I thought it was okay, although I thought he looked a bit plasticky. But it was okay. I wasn't too fussed about that bit. Spoilers, can I talk about the end?
Of course, yes.
Okay, then. Well, the ending, you get Jason ends up getting sucked off the spaceship with the sergeant riding him on his back, and then they both shoot off heading to his atmosphere. So
is that enough double entendre? That was, enough double entendre?
That was quite memorable, let's say.
Oh, Rector, sorry.
Don't apologise. Tom, you better pump the organ today.
I think it's, if you don't take it too seriously, I thought it was quite a good popcorn movie, and it made me laugh a few times, and it looked all right, and you've got a big unstoppable killer killing people, and I think, well, it could have been a lot worse. At least no one had Warwick Davis crawling out of their willy, like in Leprechaun in Space. So
what?
I liked it.
Okay, you're going to have to explain that last sentence to me, because I haven't seen Leprechaun in Space.
Oh, right, okay. Well, Leprechaun in Space, the fourth one, obviously set in space, one of the memorable scenes in it has the leprechaun, Warwick Davis, who crawls out of one of the characters' willy.
Like his winkle.
What else did you...
How does he fit through it?
Yeah, I know he's a leprechaun and all, but...
Yeah, but he's not that small.
That's the question to ask. Yeah. How does he fit through it?
See, now that is a reason for you to go out and watch that film.
Oh, well, God, I'm gonna have no.
I'm going to have to.
I don't want to know that much.
Okay.
So, that was my thoughts.
Okay, well, I think I know somebody who has the opposite thoughts to Gore Blimey, and that will probably be Mr. Nathan Rhubarb Johnson.
Yes, my thoughts are probably the opposite of Gore Blimey. Let me preface this with I was watching The Simpsons recently, and there was a scene where Bart's looking through a telescope, and he sees, like, you know, the wonders of space and all this crazy stuff going on in space, and he says, "Wow, the universe is so boring." And I'm like, I feel you, Bart. I'm very in tune with him in that moment, because you could set anything in space and it takes points away from me. That's something that I'm just not interested in at all. Like, I've never been into sci-fi, so I'm not interested in sci-fi. So you're taking Jason and, you know, like, I love all the Camp Crystal Lake films, but then you put him in space and you take him out of his element, and I don't know, I don't like it. I mean, it's not completely terrible. I did like some of the death scenes that Gore had mentioned. I liked the liquid nitrogen scene. I really liked the virtual reality Camp Crystal Lake, too. I agree with Gore on that part, because I thought that was a lot of fun, although it mainly just made me wish they would just set it there and not in space. But, I mean, everybody seems to want to do something different after Part 7, or even Part 7 did something different. But, like, setting-wise, after Part 7, they just wanted to take it in different directions, and all the directions were just bad. I'm like, I have a feeling if they would have just kept it at Camp Crystal Lake, I would have liked it a lot better. Like, I think you could take the characters from Jason X, throw them in Camp Crystal Lake, and I would probably have rated it a little higher than I'm rating Jason X, to be honest. Although, shockingly enough, Jason X is not my least favorite in the series. Do you guys know what my least favorite is?
Jason Goes to Hell?
Yes.
Yeah.
Good God, I hate that movie.
Well, you are only so human.
It's such an awful movie.
Gore Blimey, have you seen Jason Goes to Hell, the previous film?
I have, a long, long time ago. I think when it first came out on VHS, I saw it, and I can't remember anything about it.
Okay. Oh, you're so lucky.
Yeah.
But Jason X, like, the one thing that puts it above Jason Goes to Hell, in my opinion, is at the very least, even if I'm not that interested in the setting, they're taking a group of characters in a, you know, kind of a enclosed setting where there's no escape and killing them off one by one. So on that note, you know, I do like it more than I thought. And I got the biggest laugh at the end about Jason, you know, hurtling towards the survivors, and then I can't even remember his name now.
Brodsky.
You know, intercepting him and stuff. It was just so over the top and ridiculous. It made me laugh a lot because of how stupid it was. But I mean, ultimately, I mean, it's not one that I probably rewatch a lot. I would say I rewatch parts 1 through 7 way more than anything that came after. But I don't necessarily hate this one the way I disliked Jason Goes to Hell. So I think that I would be more inclined to give it a 5 out of 10 because I don't think it's completely bad. There are some things I enjoy, but there's also some things I do not enjoy, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Uber Jason. You know what, though? If you would, they would have made a sequel to that where it was set on Earth because, you know, in at the very end when the couple is out on Earth, I assume, and the mask, you know, falls down or Jason falls down, I would love to have seen what happened after that.
Well,
we can discuss that later.
I would assume that would be Earth 2 because they said Earth was disintegrated in the...
Yeah, it's Earth 2.
Okay. But, well, then I would. We'll have to discuss after the credits later.
And well, I did read the Jason X sequel novelization. Now, I can't remember much about it, but it was set on Earth 2. It was a direct sequel to Jason X. But apart from that, I can't remember what happened.
Oh, so Nathan, so you hated it then, basically, is what you're saying.
I said 5 out of 10.
That's average. I'm afraid you're still chucked. You know, can't cope with that.
Okay, well, wait till we hear from Joseph, because I think he's really going to... diss this film.
Well, I mean, wouldn't it be amazing if we could just kind of turn back time and re-review another Friday the 13th film? I mean,
you really didn't want to discuss this. There was a Friday the 13th coming up, and you were like, "Can we not do Jason X, please?" And the rest of us were like, "No, we're going to do it."
I guess I'll persevere because you know it's our job to discuss these films. But I'll just say that Jason X is one of the lousiest Friday the 13th films there is. One of the most desperately bad horror films I've endured in such a long time. I mean, in place of atmosphere are some really cheap sci-fi sets, and that's SYFY, as in the channel. To compare this film to a legitimate science fiction film would be a disservice to the sci-fi genre, in my opinion. It's got really lousy non-Friday the 13th music. Some of the poorest writing I've seen, you know, this side of a kindergarten production of Death of a Salesman, I'd say. The film is peppered with jokey dialogue, with characters stabbed, hacked, filleted, bombed, frozen, etc. by Jason Voorhees, and they get enough time to dole out such poppers as "this sucks on so many levels" and "oh, he just wants his machete back." I mean, the Friday the 13th films were never rousing because of writing, let's face it, but a majority had that unmistakable atmosphere, you know, the music, and they all had that sense of kind of comfort, familiarity to them, that it didn't really matter if they were poorly written. Jason X tries to shoehorn Jason into a really lame gimmick and be sarcastic about it, and I hate that. I think it doesn't work. In fact, I'd be the lone wolf here and say probably that this is the worst in the series for me. I think Jason Goes to Hell felt more like The Hidden rather than a Friday the 13th film, but at least it had kind of variable atmosphere and effective set pieces. I mean, Jason X for me has none of that. I mean, it's not even amusing to quote Steve Martin in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles accidentally. I mean, even the death scenes were dull. The cryogenic stuff, I just found it dull. I'm sorry. I'm just going to sum this up with I hated this movie. Hated, 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 hated it. The worst movie we've covered so far, in my opinion.
What?
Really? Even worse than...
Worse than Terror at Ten Killer.
Well, okay.
Are you serious?
Wait. Well, even worse than Terror at Ten Killer. What are you trying to say?
Oh,
well, I think we all know what he's trying to say.
Yeah. Wise up, Nathan.
Were so bad they're good. This one, it really just annoyed me on so many levels. It sucked on so many levels.
Wow, that's quite a lot of hate. That's quite a lot of hate.
I'll just say I never want to see Jason X again, ever.
Well, I do apologize to Gore for what you've had to come between.
Oh,
you know,
I know. I'm shocked. I'm clutching my pearls so hard they nearly fell off.
I've never heard Joseph so animated. It must be like this late afternoon recording slot we have.
Yes.
Justin, I'm intrigued to know what your vibe was because I was getting mixed signals from your Facebook posts during the week.
Well, I kind of, I don't know, is my honest answer. There's bits of this movie I quite enjoy. I to be honest, I think a one word, not even a one word, but like a Marceau kind of interpretive dance review of this would be a shrug. I kind of like where they're going from it. And like Gore was saying, that actually when you, you know, they usually say that it's the last gasp of a franchise when they send them into space. But there's some with this, there was a knowing wink, and I said wink, to the audience with this. It was kind of like the idea, Jason Space, there was a kind of knowingness to this and a playfulness to the film, which I liked. But having said that, and I said the things I liked the opening scenes. David Cronenberg, it was a nice touch having him in there, basically a nod towards a kind of the body horror and this idea, like, you know, on a molecular level, Jason Voorhees is unkillable. So there was, I thought that was quite fun. It just didn't sit particularly well, this kind of the melding of the aliens and the kind of the teen sex kind of not teen sex, but, you know, like they having the horny teens on the spaceship. It could have worked better, and I just didn't feel they got the balance to it right throughout the film. Jason just, he didn't really fit in that environment. I don't know, it's kind of like something as organic as the alien in Alien, especially, less so Aliens, which is more of an action movie, but Alien is kind of, you know, as we've discussed, it's kind of like a slasher movie in space, or certainly a haunted house movie in space. And with this, it's just, even though this had a sizable budget to it, relatively, I agree with Joseph as well, it just kind of felt too cheap, really, to convince that you were actually really on a spaceship. It's kind of, tonally, it was all over the place. I didn't mind things like, hey, you know, he just wanted his machete back and things like that. I thought they were fun bits. I loved the hologram stuff. I thought that was inspired. That was all good fun. But it's kind of things like, you know, when the guy gets stabbed once and then he says, you know, you can't, you know, you need more than that to bring this old dog down. And he says, get stabbed again. He said, that will do it. Just things like that. I've got a little of a, we've spoken about this before, and I can't remember who said this, but it was along the lines of that when you actually get characters joking about their own deaths, you know that you've kind of jumped the shark a little bit with a slasher movie. You've gone a little bit too far into, you've kind of gone too far. You've basically gone beyond the realms of believability. And of course, we're talking about 25th century knitwear space opera. Then obviously you're already gone beyond that. But it's just things like that. I agree with Nathan. I think I'm agreeing with everyone today, but it's kind of, it's a 5 out of 10 for me. I don't hate it and I don't love it. There's bits of it I like, but I find it doesn't really go far enough in any direction, really. I think there's a couple of okay kills, but really when you're thinking about what the first film, obviously, you know, was the kind of the kills were the kind of the star of the film, and the rest of the sequels, the early sequels, they would have been the star if they hadn't been cut out. But there's enough of that kind of, as Alan Jones once called it, like the brilliance of the Friday 13th films are their lethal predictability, in so much of like a pair of comfy slippers for horror aficionados. But I think with the kills in this, would obviously they were one eye on an R rating. And so they could have really gone over the top, and they didn't. The cryogenic head smashing was great, but the rest of them are just a bit half-hearted. It's almost like, oh, we've got to get the kill. I have to have some kills in. Let's put a kill in. But there's no weight to them. There's no kind of oomph to them, I didn't find. It was kind of, it's a 5 out of 10 for me. I don't hate it. And I don't love it, and it's certainly not my favourite Friday the 13th film, and it's a film that I probably could live without watching again any time in the next millennia. But you know, I enjoyed it for what it was, but yeah, it's a miss. It's essentially for me, it's a misfire.
Ooh. Okay. Well, I thought I was going to be the sole voice here on the podcast who would be singing the praises of Jason. Well, not singing the praises, that's a bit too extreme. I thought I would be the only one who would be defending the film, but thankfully Gore Blimey got in there before me, and I would be on Gore Blimey's side when it comes to Jason X, I would say. Because I'm a fan of sci-fi, unlike Nathan. I love sci-fi, in fact. I think I'm probably the only one who loved Alien Covenant. I bought it on Blu-ray, watched it again, and thought it was still a really, really good movie. I don't really understand why it's getting such negative reviews. And I kind of get a perverse pleasure out of that 1990s trend of sending horror franchises into space. Now, I haven't seen Leprechaun in space, but I have seen Critters and Hellraiser. And as awful as they are, I find them strangely compelling. And I do think that Jason X is probably the best of those sending sci-fi franchises into space. And like Hellraiser Bloodline, you can see that Jason X suffered from a lot of, production trouble. With tampering with the script, at very short notice and all that. And I think that if Todd Farmer's original script had made it to the screen, it probably would have been a much better film, because the one thing that I do not like about Jason X are those stupid one-liners as people are being killed. You know, this sucks on so many levels, and that when Brodsky is killed for the first time before he's resurrected with the nanotechnology, all that type of stuff, I find does ruin the movie a bit for me. But I do enjoy, there's plenty to enjoy. I mean, I enjoy the cryogenic kill. I think is inspired, and as we said, I think we all agree that the hologram sequence, I think even you, Joseph, must agree that the holodeck sequence with the two campers is good.
Nope.
Okay, fair enough.
I thought it was very poorly handled.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't think you understand how bad I hate this movie.
Okay, you wish now. I thought it was I thought that bit was really funny, and I thought it was quite clever. Jason, I liked having Jason back to being Jason, even though I still don't like the look of Jason in this movie. Uber Jason, don't mind, but up until that point, I don't like that look where the mask is sort of growing into the face, like they had in parts of Jason Goes to Hell. Another problem is probably there's so many characters in the film that they all become rather anonymous, which is kind of, Friday the 13th isn't known for having, deep characterizations or anything. But if you look back at the first four in particular, you could always tell who was who, and you could remember people's names. Even if they were fairly interchangeable, they usually tended to have one sort of standout quirk that would help you distinguish them. Somebody was the jock, somebody was the joker, somebody was the slut, somebody was the virgin. Whereas Eric, in this one, what?
I'm sorry. I will say one thing about this movie that I liked, and that's the character of KM. But having said that, the fact that I like artificial intelligence more than the intelligence on screen here, it kind of says something.
Wow. You really don't like this film, do you?
No, I don't.
I like the character of KM as well.
Yes, but I did like that character.
But yeah. She really is kind of the only one who stands out. Everyone else is sort of the same character, just duplicated. Nobody has any kind of standout personality. But on the plus side, it has spaceships in it, and I love my spaceships. The CGI does look dated in places. I mean, the nanotechnology that Gore was referring to does look rather crap now in 17 years on. And the whole nanobot thing actually does raise the question of why can't they just keep, everyone who gets killed by Jason, why can't they just keep resuscitating them on the nanobot technology table? I don't understand why they don't do that. They do it for Brodsky, but they don't seem to do it for anyone else. So overall, the film is far from a classic, but I do feel it gets an unfair rap. And this is where it gets really controversial. I personally prefer it to Jason Goes to Hell. I prefer it to Jason Takes Manhattan. And I prefer it to The New Blood.
No.
Oh, yes.
I would disagree on the New Blood part. I mean, I do like Jason Takes Manhattan better, but it's not really a favorite of mine. Mm. I really love The New Blood, though. It's got Maddie, Eric.
I know it's got Maddie, but there's something about The New Blood that just doesn't sit right with me. I can't get into it at all. I think that if Jason X had been made and they'd avoided all the late in the day tampering and gone ahead with a singular vision, because originally it was supposed to be, as Justin was alluding to there, it was supposed to be kind of a mishmash of Aliens and Friday the 13th. And then Sean Cunningham apparently came along and said he wanted more comedy put into it to make it more in line with things like Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer and Urban Legend, which had the sort of hip meta thing going on. And that's where things start to get messy and the vision starts to get diluted. But I think it's fairly entertaining and much better than its reputation would have you believe. So, there's me and Gore versus the three of you, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
There we go.
We win. Majority.
Yeah,
you know what I'm going to say.
One thing that didn't interest me was I like this. The scientist character goes around in sort of kind of like a leotard thing, which is very unscientisty like. But maybe that's a futuristic thing where scientists are these babes who go around in leotards.
Well, I think it's. I think it. You know what this means? It's going to be a fight, isn't it? And
does it?
It's kind of weighted on our side. Yeah, well, you watch out, Eric, because I'll come up behind you and punch you in the ring.
Your fist would bounce off.
I'm sure it would. I'd never get it back. So
careful. Eric may sit on you, Justin.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Justin.
Well, yes. Okay, anyway, so...
I like how he's thinking, what can I say to come back from that? Well, yes.
Exactly. Yeah, so coming there. Back from that.
Yeah, well, you're a doo-doo head.
Oh, Eric.
Well, there's the humor right there in Jason X. Yeah. Eric.
Exactly.
Matches Jason X's humor.
So, okay. So, well, Eric, have you got anything else you'd like to say? I mean, I think you've kind of... You summed up nicely. Or should we go on to some background? Because I know we've got
some background. If anyone has any background they want to share with us,
well you alluded, we were talking a little bit about background, weren't you? So yeah, it'd be good to talk about, because I know we have limited time with Nathan.
Yes,
we still got an hour.
Nathan's on borrowed time.
Yeah.
Oh, Nathan.
Well, I'm not dying.
Oh, right. Sorry. Whoops. My mistake.
That's why y'all brought War Blimey on. You all thought I was dying and you were looking for the fourth.
Yeah.
We thought the taxi was coming to pick you up to take you to Dignitas. Clearly not.
A taxi was coming
to because here's the thing. Even if I were to die while we're still doing the podcast, I demand that one of you get a Ouija board and speak for me while you're doing it.
Or we could use the nanotechnology to bring you back.
Yes.
I saw Ouija Origin of Evil. I'm not messing with Ouija boards.
Yeah, but I'll be a nice ghost.
Yeah, but what happens if an evil ghost intercepts the communication?
Oh, no, they won't. I'll tell them to get out of here. Not in the mood for it today.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd be like, evil ghost, I'm not in the mood. Boy.
Okay, well, Nathan, do you have any background information for us on Jason X?
Yes.
No.
That's not the way you're meant to say it.
I know, but I wasn't sad about this
one. Oh, okay. Joseph, you must have done loads of research, did you?
Well, I typically don't research Friday the 13th films because they've been covered exclusively on the documentaries. However, I will say to go Google an article called From Hollywood to Homeless, The Writer of Jason X and Drive Angry on Screenwriting on the Edge. It's about Todd Farmer, the writer of Jason X. Basically how he did a couple movies and he just became homeless. It's it's really, really heartbreaking to read, but it's a really good read.
Yeah, because he went on to write and appear in the My Bloody Valentine remake and Drive Angry.
Mm-hmm.
And then things sort of went pear-shaped for him after that.
Yeah, I mean, he had a rough go, but it kind of made me feel, really bad for him. I mean, it's just kind of heartbreaking. But yeah, it's a good article.
He has a nice bottom. You see it in My Bloody Valentine in 3D.
You were supposed to see more, weren't you, apparently?
Really?
It was supposed
3D?
To
be. Yeah. I thought we do see more. I thought he went full frontal in that movie.
Did he?
No, but no. I think he did. I think he talked about having an erection, didn't he, in that? That was what I read. Then they said it was in 3D, but they decided it would be too much.
Bloody hell. You sure didn't dream that?
Well, maybe I did. No, I'm pretty sure I did. Let me Google it.
Oh, no.
Well, this is scintillating, folks.
Yeah. Okay, well, is that all the background you have, Joseph?
Yeah, that's everything I have.
Gore, do you have anything you want to add to it?
No. Did that sound right? No.
Yeah, that sounded right. See, that's what I wanted from you, Nathan.
You
Gore
wanted...
is your... Gore Blimey is your replacement.
How dare y'all. You're not going to find this southern drawl anywhere else.
Joseph has one fairly
similar. Not quite like mine, though. I feel like mine's way more country than Joseph's.
Mm. Justin, are you still researching Todd Farmer's Winkle?
Yeah. I'm just sorry.
You have some IMDb info for us, Justin?
Oh, nice. The tables have turned. Okay, well, I'll go ahead and just... As Joseph was saying, we don't really go into that much depth on the Friday the 13th series because there's huge big books and Blu-rays out there documenting the behind-the-scenes stuff. I will say that it were filmed on Spaceship in Space, this movie. Isn't that right, Justin?
Why have you suddenly gone all kind of...
I don't know. I have no idea. I think
you're
I'm still
trying to do Coronation Street. You sound from the room. You sound like the guy from the room.
I suppose
Jason
like I was from Yorkshire.
X was in space. What a story, Eric.
Lisa, so much.
This bad as Justin trying to do an accent.
Yeah.
Not pretty good accents.
Yeah. Okay, well, the film
I remember
was...
your one for the last slumber party, Justin. You were making fun of the nurse.
What was that?
And you said something like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
That's how you think the Americans sound?
Well, I'll just leave that there, shall I? Well, the nurse in Last Slumber Party, I think, well, she wasn't really known for her acting.
Okay. Well, listen, will I go on and tell you a few behind-the-scenes nuggets?
Yes, please, and I'll come back to it. I'm still Googling.
Well, you impress us with your nuggets. Go on.
I will impress you with my big nuggets. Okay, are you ready? Because I'm going to give it to you all right now.
Braced and ready.
This was made in lieu of the proposed Freddy versus Jason, which had stalled. They were trying to find a concept that would work for Freddy versus Jason and have it as a direct sequel to Jason Goes to Hell, but nothing was really working, so they said, let's just put out a regular Friday the 13th movie to keep Jason in the public consciousness until they could get Freddy versus Jason working. And the reason they said it in the future was because they didn't want to do a direct sequel to Jason Goes to Hell that would disrupt the timeline they had in mind for Freddy versus Jason. So that was why they sent him into space and sent him into the 25th century. One of the ideas actually that the director, whose name, Jim Isaac, he originally had an idea that he wanted to set it back in Crystal Lake, but set it during the winter and have Jason in the snow, which was a concept that had been bandied around for a proposed sequel to the reboot from 2009.
Yeah, I wanted that for so long. I want to see Jason in the snow.
And apparently Todd Farmer's original script was, quote, weird, sexy, funny and scary with a raw edge. But, constant tampering with the script very late in the day. Todd Farmer says that they rewrote the magic out of the script. So it's not Todd Farmer's fault, Joseph. You can't blame him.
I don't blame him at all, actually.
Yeah, an alternate opening had the guy who's supervising Jason Voorhees as he's tied up in chains. He's visited by his girlfriend and the girlfriend wants to have a selfie taken with Jason. So she poses for the camera whilst grabbing Jason's todger. And needless to say, this does not go down well with Jason and he kills both of them. So and then there was another scene where the students find the frozen bodies of Jason and Rowan. Two of the other students veer off and they find a frozen condom still in its wrapper. And they see that it's way out of date. But they decide, hey, let's test it and see if it works. Or still, if it, you know, I don't know what how they'd have to defrost it first, surely. But that was another deleted scene. There was also meant to be a zero gravity party with zero gravity boozing and zero gravity sex. But that was cut for budget reasons. Speaking of the budget, it was $13 million, which was $11 million, actually, which is quite astonishing for a Friday the 13th movie. But as you said, it does look quite straight to video. The budget just wasn't quite high enough to do a sci-fi movie, I don't think. All the cast were non-SAG Canadian actors, which meant that they weren't entitled to any residuals. Not that Jason X exactly set the box office alight, so if they did get residuals, it would probably be like 25 cents every year or something like that. What else do I have here? It sat on the shelf for a long time. I think and this will not shock any of you, I saw this first on a pirate download that my cousin got for me for my...
Well, wait a minute. Never mind. That's not shocking, actually.
Yeah. It was my birthday in 2002. He arrived up to the flat and he had a VCD, believe it or not. Do you remember VCDs?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've still got mine, the VCD of this.
Yeah?
Yeah. I dug it out and then I realised it didn't have it wouldn't play on the PlayStation and my disk drive's dead on my Mac, so I couldn't watch it. So.
Yeah, so like I didn't have internet at home at the time, so he downloaded it for me and brought it up. That's my birthday present, which I was delighted with because there was still no sign of a release date for it. So that was my first viewing of it. The reason it sat on the shelf for 2 years because the president of production at New Line, Michael DeLuca, had left midway through the production, and he was the only one who was championing the film. And once the film was completed, they didn't really have any interest in releasing it. So it sat on the shelf for 2 years, and in between that time, it got leaked online. So I suppose myself and yourself, anyway, Justin, I don't know if any of the other three saw this first as a pirate download. Did you?
No.
Yeah, of course not. Joseph, Nathan?
No, actually, I saw it at the theater. And then,
oh, did you? Yeah.
I did, too.
Last time I'd seen it. I saw it on DVD a little later, but yeah.
Yeah, because it went, as far as I know, it went straight to DVD over here, didn't it, Justin?
Yeah, it definitely didn't get a cinema release. Yeah. No.
As I said, there was lots of spin-off novels produced by Black Flame Books. I think there was a novelization of the movie and then four sequels. I think I read two of them, but as I said, I can't remember any of them. This is like 12, 13 years ago I read them. Apparently, they're kind of collector's items now because they've been out of print for so long. Jim Isaac had worked a lot with David Cronenberg, which is how he got David Cronenberg to do a cameo in the movie. He was part of the effects team on Existence and The Fly. He did production work on Naked Lunch, and his previous directing credits included The Horror Show, which was also known as House 3. And after this, he directed a werewolf movie called Skinwalkers, which I haven't seen. And I'm sure you probably are rushing out to see it, Joseph, based on your love of Jason X.
Let's see, yes. BABYJESUS.com.
Yeah. The original virtual reality scene on the holodeck was originally supposed to have Jason's mother, and it was also supposed to have giant rabbits and topless women playing volleyball, because it was supposed to be kind of because it's a holodeck, they can throw anything they want into it. So they wanted it to be a bit more crazy and a bit more zany.
Giant rabbits? What, like Night of the Lepus?
Exactly like Lance Leapus. Is that Janet Lee?
See, now I would have enjoyed something like that. That would have been interesting.
And Jason was supposed to see his mother in the lake, and he grabs her by the hair and pulls her out of the lake and realizes that the lower half of her body is a wireframe sort of 3D graphic. And then he realizes he's on a holodeck, and that's when he sort of goes rawr and goes chasing after the others.
Well, Jason is so dumb. Would he actually know what a holodeck is?
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. But this is what they say was the original idea in the script. And that's probably most of what I have here. Justin, do you have any more, including any further updates on Todd Farmer's Winkle?
Well, I haven't found that mention of his erection, so I shall still keep Googling. But so if any of our listeners have seen it or seen mention of it, then do let us know. But the only thing I think it was, I remember it being on the shelf, and it's just a reminder of like how fucking difficult is it to do a Friday the 13th movie and put them out, because for the majority of time, if you don't spend large amounts of money on a film like they did with this, relative anyway, you can make a relatively sizable profit. And it just brings me back to the fact that Friday the 13th again has been it's kind of been knocked off the production schedule. From what I've heard, there's nothing happening now with the film, and you're thinking, really? It's just not so easy. I'm not saying it's easy to make a Friday 13th movie, but you can make a modestly budgeted Friday 13th movie set at a camp or something, even with just a bit of a twist, for a few million dollars, couldn't you? And make a very large amount of money from it. It just seems like a no-brainer. So I don't quite know why. I imagine what will happen is that we'll see the new Halloween film will come out later next year, and then
with Jamie Lee Curtis,
which is obviously the big well,
it's forgot to mention that,
but obviously that was a big slash movie news over the last few weeks. But I imagine the Friday 13th, if that's successful, which of course I imagine it will be, although I still have I'm still a bit confused by the people who are making it, saying that they want to take it back to the original and make Michael Myers a kind of a flesh and blood killer, not supernatural being. And then you've got John Carpenter saying you want to take it back to the original and make him like a force of evil, like a dark shadow in the night type of thing. It doesn't quite seem that their two visions match. But anyway, we'll see what happens. But I imagine Friday 13th will follow fairly quickly on the back of that. But So yes, it was kind of much troubled, this one, and I think it would kind of it you know, I think obviously being leaked on the internet probably hurt its box office, and also at this time it was kind of, the irony was that horror was kind of hot again, really, wasn't it? Sort of in 1999. So was it made in 97? Is that right?
And then, no, it was made in 99, 2000, and released in 2002.
Oh right, okay. By which time, actually, they'd kind of missed the horror.
Yeah, very much so.
You know, because obviously Scream was 96, and then you had things like Disturbing Behaviour, didn't you, and films like that in the 1999. And by the time, and it was a Final Destination, it was 2000, wasn't it? And by, you know, 2002, you'd almost got that whole horror wave of the mid-90s, early 2000s, was panning out. So it was a victim of its own non-success. But surprisingly, one champion of the film, who, as many of you, well, people who know of the horror critic Kim Newman, who's a British horror critic who does Video Dungeon in Empire magazine, and he's a big horror movie fan. He's not a fan of slasher movies at all. He doesn't like them. But he seemed to be quite a fan of this movie, surprisingly. So
that's
Nathan,
weird. Yeah.
Yeah. So Nathan would be impressed that I'm reading this from Wikipedia, not IMDb. But but he says,
"I am."
Yeah. Thank you. I'll do my research. Kim Newman said, "Wittily scripted, smartly directed, and well played by an unfamiliar cast. This is a real treat for all those who have suffered through the story so far." So, yeah, which I thought was interesting. But
God, he'd be the total opposite of Joseph, because he's making it sound like this is the only good one out of all of them so far.
I know. Well, there you go. But
his credibility is called into question.
Well, we all have our different opinions. But, yeah, so that was it, really. I mean, I think it would have been interesting to see what the original script ideas were and what this could have been with, you know, the original vision, basically. But tampering is rarely good for a film, is it? It's rarely good. So, but yes, well, that was Jason X. So next time, what's we got? I'm trying to think what comes after this.
We have to do our feedback first.
No. I mean, I'm thinking next time we cover a Friday the 13th film. It's Freddy vs. Jason, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it'll be next year. I think it was. Let me look and see. It'd be Freddy versus Jason on April of 2018.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. Well, that was Jason X.
Starring that one from Destiny's Child.
Yes. So what do we want to do next? How about, is it time for your joke of the week, Eric, do we think?
I think it might be time for my joke of the week.
Wow. Okay. Hang on to your hats.
It's my joke of the week. It's so
So the original concept was... I hate you. Go away. I hate you.
He's just doing the one. Just the one.
Do you want me to do the joke of the week or not?
The original
concept was to have the killer being an old girlfriend of Mr. Voorhees. It was going to be called Jason's Ex. It was going to be called Jason's Ex. Jason's Ex.
Funny than your joke.
No, it wasn't. Gore Blimey's laughing at my joke. Aren't you, Gore?
Yeah. Oh, my stomach hurts. Oh, help me.
Wow, my joke is that good. Wow. You are welcome.
Thank you, Eric.
I give that joke a 5 out of 10.
Hey.
What? That doesn't mean I hated it.
Doesn't mean you were indifferent
to it.
Your
joke is the equivalent of the film. I think it's very fitting.
Yeah, well, your brain is equivalent to doo-doo.
Eric, do you want me to review your joke?
No. I can tell.
Hey, we can add that as an extra section of the show. We all review Eric's joke when he finishes.
Yeah. Well, what did you think of it, Justin?
I'm sorry, I gotta go wash my hair.
It was 5 out of 10.
Well, Gore Blimey thought it was a 10 out of 10. I can tell.
I think Gore Blimey just being polite, but thank you. Thank you, Eric.
A 10 out of 10.
So, well, how about we do after the credits? Because I think it's perfect time for that, isn't it?
If you want to do that 5 out of 10 segment, then go ahead. Be my guest.
Okay. After the credits, Jason stalked people on Earth 2, and oddly enough, he landed in Camp Crystal Lake in Earth 2, and then a bunch of sexy campers showed up, and they were wearing 80s gear because that had come back into fashion.
And what kind of mask is Jason wearing in this sequel?
He starts out with the bag. It sort of like just starts over from the very beginning. He starts out with the bag mask, and then he finds a new hockey mask because the other one was kind of all messed up.
So it's basically Friday the 13th Part 2.
Yes.
It's like Uber Potato Sack.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there an Uber Alice as well? Has she been resurrected on the nano table?
I would totally have her resurrected, yes, to face Jason. That would be fun.
So you said resurrected. Are you finally agreeing that she's dead?
Well, no, by that year, she would be dead.
I thought she would live forever in your mind.
Well, no, I mean, she died of old age when she was 127.
Yeah, obviously, Joseph. Ooh. Yeah.
That makes sense. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Well, Gore, what would you say happens at the after the credits in this film?
I think that the geeky guy and his sexy android, who's just ahead by now, I think they'll probably settle down and live happily ever after. And I don't think they'll really bother with the rest of her body, because I think they'll probably be happy with just the head, I think. I also think is it Rowan, the main one?
Yes.
I think she'll set up her own business where she crochets space suits.
Yes. Yeah, I always wondered about what's going on between KM and the guy who built her.
Ooh.
And why did he build her? Did he build her for assistance around the spaceship or assistance in the bedroom?
Or both.
Mm. Yeah. She's good with a machine gun, though.
And she's very...
She was a good fighter.
Yeah.
She's
a bit Jackie Chan.
Hmm.
Her nipples are a bit faulty, though.
Well, that's kind of the guy's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like he stuck 2 pennies on the end of there, and they just kept falling off.
Yeah. I'd update her nipples. I'd get nipples 2.0 for if I was him. You just love that sound effect, and you love demeaning me.
What about you, Eric? What do you think happened?
I like the idea of it going back to being a Friday the 13th movie, like you said. So yeah, I want Earth 2 to be kind of like stuck in the 1980s, possibly 1981 or even 1982, which means Toya would be on the radio all the time as well. So there'd be a Toya soundtrack to the sequel to Jason X, and Jason would
My review of that right now.
Yeah,
<I know. laughs> they'll need someone to play his mother.
That's true.
Oh,
you can come back, Gore.
Eric. You'll get shaded. No,
Susie is in the prologue, but she gets brutally murdered and decapitated, and then Jason does a poo in her dead body. And that's the prologue.
That's quite a prologue.
Eric, yeah. were you president of your debating society at college?
We didn't have a debating society in my college.
Eric went to college.
There's a shocker.
I did go to college. I'm well educated.
Sorry?
I said, what about you, Joseph? What do you think happened? Because you hated it, so.
Well, I'd say he fell to Earth 2. The fall killed him. He went to hell, and Freddy resurrected him. And since I don't believe in hell or heaven or anything like that, but I'd imagine that it's timeless. So for some reason, time...
I'm going to tell Ned Flanders what you just said.
Yeah, since Timelessness, it just reverted back to the early 2000s.
Well, if he's the man who fell to Earth, then maybe The Man Who Fell to Earth is a sequel with David Bowie as Jason.
Yeah. David Bowie playing Jason Voorhees. There you go.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Justin?
Well, I was just thinking, I was trying to think if they did a Friday the 13th sequel now with everyone, because obviously one of the big things in the early 80s slasher movies, nobody had mobile phones. And so even with films like I think in Wrong Turn, they had to sort of come up with ideas about you couldn't get a signal and all that kind of thing. But in the 25th century on Earth 2, then the likelihood there would be social media, everyone, there would be whatever the Facebook and Instagram is of like the 25th century. So I imagine there's just lots of dumb teens sort of live streaming their own deaths. But I think Jason, I think Jason, he belongs in the 1980s. I don't think he's kind of thing. Or given his mask, he could become an Uber driver. I don't know.
Wow.
10 out of 10 joke.
Thank you.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Dare you? He doesn't have a jingle for his joke. I have a jingle.
I'm just having to see if I've got a clapping thing here. That's my jingle for.
Hey,
my
is joke. That the music from House of Death?
Is it? I don't know.
No, it's Price is Right.
So, okay. Well, that was after the credits. So, we're going to get onto some feedback. So, I'll play some contact details on how to get in contact with the show, and we'll be back just after this.
The content of this podcast was provided by Justin Kurzweil, Eric Frillfall, Nathan Johnson, and Joseph Henson. If you enjoy our program and are willing and able to provide a donation, please visit us on Patreon and become a content designated subscriber. That's patreon.com/thehysteriacontinues. For non-subscriber PayPal donations and general feedback, our address is the.hysteria.continues@gmail.com. To listen and interact, simply search for The Hysteria Continues on iTunes, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Susie versus Toya forever.
Ooh, I like that improvised new jingle there, Joseph.
Ooh, yeah. I did.
It kind of reminds me of The Simpsons. And now here's Mr. Black.
It's just always the Simpson references I don't get. But anyway, thank you for anyone who's written in. We've actually got quite a lot of feedback, so we're going to spread it out because it's been quite a big one tonight. So we can't take it all at once. So
I think he's just trying to egg Gore Blimey on to do
one. Yeah. So he needs no encouragement.
So we're going to spread it out anyway, so we can fit it all in at some point. So anyway, we have got some feedback. Who would like to go first?
I've got a big long one.
Okay.
Oh, you're talking about feedback still?
Oh, right.
Sorry. No. I do have a big long one. This is from Clancy Peterson. He says, "Hey guys, I just want to say that Eric's joke of the week this week was definitely 10 out of 10, and everyone who says it isn't is a poo head." And then he also goes on. Thank you, Clancy, for that. Clancy also goes on to say, "I recently discovered your podcast because I've been having a bit of a summer slasher marathon. I love all the horror film subgenres, but was in the mood to spend a few months focused on the slashers and proto-slashers. I've made my way through a large chunk of the back catalogue as I revisit old favourites and discover new gems. The Mutilator was one of the new discoveries. I'd heard of the film, but somehow never saw it. The dark opening had me hooked, but it was when the wonderful intro song began to play that I knew that this was going to become a favourite." Cue Joseph singing the intro song.
Hey. No?
For The Mutilator?
Oh, we're going on a fall break, walking hand in hand in the moonlight. There you go.
Very good. Excellent. Thank you. I had a lot of fun with the shifts in tone, the characters, and the kills. Thanks for covering this film. The episode was top-notch, and it was awesome to hear your thoughts. The guest from Arrow Video was a perfect addition to the episode. That was, of course, Ewan Kant, which you can see on the Slayer Blu-ray as well. Ewan is on that in the extras, which has just been released. I was watching that during the week as well. Mm-hmm. I watched the film on Shudder, but will be ordering the Arrow disc to get access to the bonus features. That documentary they put together sounds fantastic. One final question. Maybe I missed them showing a larger cache of beer, but if not, what group of six people are able to party with only two sixers of beer? I think this is a question for our resident alcoholic, Justin Kurzweil.
Oh,
six,
Eric.
Six people when only 12 cans of beer?
Well, that doesn't sound much like a much of a party to me.
It'd be one for me because I'm like a two beer guy, so it'd be like two beers.
I'm a no beer guy, so you can have my ones, Justin.
But you kind of you enjoy a suck on a stiff cocktail, don't you?
I do. I like a nice stiff. I like to get a nice stiff one inside me early on in the night. It helps loosen me up. Anyway, Clancy goes on to say, keep up the great work. I have been telling everyone in the Portland, Oregon horror community that they should be listening to your show. I'm also an obsessed collector of Blu-rays, and I have plenty of your commentaries to sit down with soon. Cheers from Clancy Peterson.
Well, thank you,
Clancy.
Yes. Well, that's very nice words from Clancy.
Okay. I like Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown.
Oh, calling him Clancy from Highlander. Brown?
Yeah. Hmm. Shawshank Redemption, Pet Sematary 2.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Clancy. And who would like to go next?
I have a perfect sized feedback.
Oh, okay.
It says, greetings, gentlemen. Since my last email, I have laid witness to the travesty and a half that is the new Leatherface film, and I want my money back, to say the least. It may be that some people aren't fond of the new It. I personally love it, but it's hard to say it isn't the best horror film of 2017 compared to its competition. On another note, have you seen or heard any more concerning Friday the 13th, The Game? Despite its bugs, of which many have since been ironed out, it's a very enjoyable experience that pays a very loving, detailed homage to the movies and franchise as a whole. Last accounts I had, they are soon going to add Jason from Part 4. Sincerely, the Hobgoblin. Thank you, Hobgoblin. I've heard bad stuff about the new Leatherface movie. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard a lot of bad things about it, actually.
Yes, apparently it's like a sub-Rob Zombie Devil's Rejects ripoff.
Yeah, Jason X won't seem so bad now, will it, Joseph?
Yeah, not really, actually.
I bet you Joseph likes Jason X better than Halloween 1 and 2, the Rob Zombie versions.
Surely you do.
You would be correct in that assumption.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. But I haven't played Friday the 13th, The Game. I've heard good things, and I think I would enjoy it. I just don't have the game system needed.
Yeah, I want to play it, but I'm not much of a gamer. I like the really old games, but I don't really play that much.
I have the Friday the 13th game for my Xbox, but because it's only multiplayer, you need Xbox Live to do it, and I only subscribed for a month. And I couldn't really get into the game because when you're playing online against sort of teenagers who are playing it 24/7, you know, the game lasts about 30 seconds and you're killed. And it's very hard to get to grips with. I'm waiting for there's no single player option on it yet, but apparently that's on the way. And then I'll try and re-engage.
You know, what would have been fun is if we all like got it and were able to play it like us and not like with a bunch of strangers who play it all the time.
Can't you choose who you play with?
No, I don't think so, no.
Okay.
So you can't choose, like, Billy from Friday the 13th Part 5?
You probably can, but I don't know anyone else who owns an Xbox. Well, my nephew does, but he probably wouldn't have Friday the 13th the game because he's only 10.
Okay.
Gore, are you a fan of gaming?
Games? Oh, God, I'm rubbish at them. No, I can just about cope with Doom. That's about it. Anything more than that, and I'm no good at all. So nobody would want to play with me.
Yeah, I'm afraid I peaked at Super Mario Brothers 3 or something like that.
Mm. Well, as you know, I am a bit of a gamer, and I do, you know, enjoy a whiz on a joystick. Do you remember joystick back from the 80s?
Yes, yes, of course.
Anyway, I would love to get Friday the 13th the game, but for some reason, I've got the PlayStation 4, and the network access on the PlayStation 4 is appalling. I can't get I wouldn't be able to play a live game across kind of live network. So I'm holding out for the single player because I played Until Dawn, which I enjoyed, which is the other kind of slasher movie thing. There's the other one, which I can't remember the name of now. I can't remember the name of it, but there's another slasher movie.
Barbie's Adventures in
That's the one, yes.
Yeah.
But no, when it does come out. But say, I'd love to play with you, Eric, but
I'm sure you would.
Unfortunately, I don't have the equipment to do it at the moment.
Mm-hmm. What, did it fall off?
No, it's just...
Like the nipples.
Like the nipples, the nipples, yes. So. But yes, well, thank you. Is any other feedback? I've got one one here, but
I got Facebook feedback.
Oh yeah, do you want to do the Jason X Facebook feedback? I forgot to do that, so apologies to all the people who've written in.
Sure, I'll just run through these real quick. James Andrew Mullen says, "This was my first Friday the 13th I ever saw on VHS back in 2002. Love the futuristic design elements and many of the kills, particularly the liquid nitrogen kill. I thought that was cool. Jason Voorhees was so badass in taking out army grunts and being revived as Uber Jason. I really have a soft spot for Jason X myself." Bob Hartshorn says, "So Jason X then, what's to like? Well, Mr. Voorhees' cosmetic makeover is fun. The cryogenic head smashing is fun as well. Crystal Lake holodeck sequence is also fun. Until it's prematurely pissed up the wall, out the door, and into the nearest black hole marked stupefying missed opportunity. The rest of the movie deserves to get lost in space forever with nothing but Jar Jar Binks for company. Verdict, Jason X equals giant radioactive turd in the Friday the 13th punch bowl."
Ooh.
Yeah. And
harsh.
Tristan Comer says, "Aside from the liquid nitrogen death, this movie sucks on so many levels."
Hey, that's a quote from the movie.
Yes, it is. John Matthews says, "Love this film. I caught it when I was on holiday in Melbourne, Australia, back in 2002. Us Australians always get movies a year late."
Oh no.
Yeah. It was the playing. It's the accent show, yes. It was playing in a small cinema in the city center. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Was a fresh take, and it was Citizen Kane compared to Jason Goes to Hell. No. Gory, funny, and what it should be, a slasher, not a bad ripoff of The Hidden. Always an enjoyable watch. Let's see here. Josh Grattan says, "There are times where I get the urge to watch this. When I do, I remember why I consider it the worst in the series and shut it off after 45 minutes. Hate it." Paul Allen Hobby says, and I guess this is his hobby horse for today, "For me, the worst by far is Jason Goes to Hell." Lee David Bullock says, "It's so underrated." Mike Alishan says, "Oh, Matron, it's time to man up." I see what he did there. Alex Bowley says, "It's not too bad at the start and has one of my favorite kills of the series, but gets lost around the halfway point and just gets boring. Then again, it gets bonus points for the Cronenberg cameo." Matt Minter says, "Saw it in the theater. Most memorable line, what's a bike?" I actually did like that line. Yeah. David Cook says, "Odd to see a Friday with a 15 certificate. Still much better than Jason Goes to Hell." Okay, Lawrence Adams says, "You guys are going to force me to finally watch this." Yes, we did. Nick Yeoman says, "Not my favorite in the series, but of all the Ghost to Space films, this beats Leprechaun and Pinhead hands down. Despite the cheesy one-liners, I still get a kick out of this. Uber Jason is inspired." Glenn Brewer says, "One of my favorites." Steven Symington says, "Never seen it, never will." And finally, Ara Alishan says, "I'm not opposed to blending some humor in here and there. Jason Lives seemed to find the perfect balance. Jason X made me chuckle once or twice, but was otherwise pretty painful." And that's it for the Facebook feedback.
Okay, well, thank you everyone who wrote in. Always great to hear you, and we'll tell you what we're going to be covering on the next podcast. So I've got one here. I'm not going to make any jokes about its length, but it is quite a big one. It says, "Hey guys, thank you for an enjoyable phenomena show. Love that film, and that crazy monkey ending is something else. I also want to thank you for praising Nightmare USA book over the years. I finally bought it, and it's an amazing read. It might also be the weightiest book I've ever held in my hand. God damn, what a monster. I want to tell you about my most recent slasher discovery. Just when you think you've seen every slasher flick that emerged in the 1980s, something turns up that you've never heard of before, and is so entertaining and cheesy that it completely blows you away. That little something is 1989's Murder Weapon. Has anyone heard of this film? I've not heard of it before.
No.
Nathan might know this one. Do you know Murder Weapon?
I've seen it, but it's been a really long time. I think it's got one of the Landers sisters in it, Audrey or Judy Landers.
Well, it says it's...
You probably don't.
Linnea Quigley and Eric.
She's in it too.
Yeah, Eric Garbage Day Freeman, and is jam-packed with nudity, cheesy dialogue, and great kills. The story follows two girls that get out of a sanitarium and invite their ex-boyfriends to a house party. Carnage occurs. Said, I had an absolute blast watching this flick and I highly recommend it to other listeners. And, of course, to you two, you four also. What's your feelings towards this film? Have you seen it? Have a good day, gentlemen. That's from Henrik. Well, I don't think any of the rest of us have seen it unless Joseph's seen it. But, Nathan, you don't remember much about it.
I don't remember anything about it. I remember kind of who's in it. And I'm actually looking it up now to see if I'm right. Maybe I'm wrong about who's in it even. Yeah, I must have been thinking about something else because, this is not showing one of the Lander sisters, so maybe I'm thinking of something totally different.
Joseph, are you still with us? I think we might have lost...
Can you hear me?
Very quietly. Come back into, like, Carolan.
Yeah, you're very Carolan tonight.
You've kind of disappeared. You're very, very quiet.
All right, how's this?
That's better.
That's a little bit better, okay. Yeah.
What was the movie called again?
Murder Weapon.
I think I've heard of it, but I have not seen it.
Okay, well, that's one for us to look into. So thank you, Henrik, for that recommendation. Gore Blimey, I take it that's not one that you've partaken of.
No, I've never heard of that one.
No. Okay, well, let's say we'll keep an eye out for that one. So thank you. Well, that's probably all the feedback we have time for this show.
I just want to apologize. I'm on a new mic set up and I didn't really get a chance to actually tweak it out this episode, so hopefully I'll have it better for next episode.
You just work maybe,
I don't
tweaking.
Know if it's Skype or if it's just this mic issue, but I'll figure it out.
Joseph, I've just got one thing to say to you.
See, I got more than Eric. He just gets the more.
Hey. So, before I don't want that anyway. It's bad news when you get that.
Yeah. Before we go, I do want to mention the game that I've been playing on here.
Okay.
I just want to say Tristan Comer actually won the game a month or so back. I don't recall exactly when, since we've recorded kind of in a strange pattern. But he has picked a movie for us to cover, which we will after our Halloween-themed episode. So I think it'll be the first episode of November, and it'll also be our big 150th. So we'll announce that. What it is on the Halloween show, which is a Nathan pick. So,
oh Christ,
what will we be discussing for Halloween this year, Nathan?
Oh, let's just say that when Mark Walters throws a party, even Freddy and Jason wouldn't come. And that is the tagline for Hollowgate, which is a very, very thrilling tale. So,
I think it's going to leave us all with hollow hearts. I've never seen it, so I'm just making assumptions based on the fact that it's a quote.
I have a feeling you'll all love it.
Well, it's a new one for me as well, so we shall see. And Gore, are you going to be playing along with that one? Listen, going to track down a copy?
I shall try. Yeah.
Yes. Well, there might be.
You're not going to be washing your hair or anything, no. So, I wish I was washing my hair.
I wish you had hair.
Hey. So, you know, I had a very good Nathan pick in a while.
It might be a masterpiece. I should not judge it till I've watched it.
Exactly.
I can send you a few YouTube clips, Eric, just so you can judge it.
Well, let's give Nathan the benefit of the doubt. As he says, he hasn't had a good pick for a while, or ever. But there's always room for the first time, isn't there?
Yeah.
Let's be positive.
Hey, I chose the Criminally Insane Crazy Fat Ethel double feature.
Yeah.
Thank you, Nathan.
Thanks.
Actually, I'd sooner watch those than Jason X again.
Well, there you go.
But, ooh, I did pick Crinoline Head, and Eric really liked that one.
I did. In fairness, I did like Crinoline Head, yes.
Okay, well, that's also, we've just released the much-delayed Werewolf Woman Patreon pick. And so if you're, that goes out exclusively to our Patreon supporters. So thank you to all five of them. And there's a few more of you than that. We're very grateful for your support for the show. So exclusive content only available to Patreon supporters. But what we might be doing, we might be releasing one of the earlier Patreon picks out into the wild. So people who aren't already a Patreon supporter can have a listen to see the exquisite and witty dialogue and exquisite criticism of these lost cult movies. No, actually, no, it's just even more immature bullshit, isn't it? But yes. If you enjoy this, the podcast, you probably enjoy us talking about such films as Humanoids from the Deep, Werewolf Woman, Burial Ground, and upcoming is the next one. It's going to be Extro, isn't it? I think that's your pick, yeah. Joseph.
Which our friend Amanda Reyes saw on the big screen yesterday or the day before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's my next pick is Extro. I love that film, so I'm looking forward to discussing it with you gentlemen.
Excellent. Yes. Okay, well, that'll be coming up before the end of the month, hopefully. So we're going to wrap this up. But before we do so, we just say thank you ever so much to Gore Blimey for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you,
pleasure.
Gore.
Yes. Hopefully,
yes, thank you very much.
Yes, hopefully you've enjoyed it.
It's been a lot of fun. Thank you. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much.
And where do we find you, Gore, on the internet, not in human form?
And not
we're not going to come over to your house or anything.
And not Grindr or anything like that. No, we're talking about podcasts.
No. If you can search on iTunes or what's it called now? It's called Apple Podcasts or something for Trilogy of Terror Podcast. And I'm on Twitter as well at I Am Gore Blimey, all one word. So that's where you can find me.
Fantastic. And it's well
and there's a listen. There's a Trilogy of Terror Facebook page as well, isn't there?
There's a Facebook page and there is a Facebook group as well. Trilogy of Terror Podcast Official is the group.
Is there an unofficial one? Have you got an unofficial one? An unofficial. Is there a bootleg?
Yeah.
No, that's it.
A fan site.
Okay, well, that's it. Well, thank you for... so what are we playing out with, Eric?
Oh, I don't know. It's just some shit music from the film.
Well, it's something to stick around for.
It's not that Drowning Pool song, is it?
I don't know. I compiled the audio for this before I went away on holidays, which is a month ago, so I can't remember.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
The bodies hit the floor. There you go.
I don't think it's that one.
Oh, thank you.
I think it's a piece of Harry Manfredini music, but I can't be 100% sure. Okay. I'm not
did
very.
Did he score Jason X? It didn't sound like
he did. Yeah.
Really.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, let's. We'll play out with that, and also maybe a few outtakes from the show. So, Well, thanks for joining us, Gore, and thank you for listening. And we will be back next time with a classic Halloween. No, we're back next time with Hollowgate. Nathan's pick. So,
well, look, if it's better than Rob Zombie's Halloween, then I'll be happy.
Exactly. It is.
Yeah,
it is.
It couldn't be worse. So, okay, well, we'll play you out and say goodbye to the good people.
Goodbye, good people.
Goodbye, good people.
Bye.
This is the part of the show where Eric says something outrageous, then I put it at the end of the podcast. Well, we are expecting the double entendre quotient to go up several notches. What?
No pressure then. Go
no
on.
Pressure. Well, if you can slip one in, then it'd be much appreciated.
Oh.
He's had it out and been polishing it all evening. But if you need to chew off, as it were, at any point, then do let us know.
Yeah,
he's like Linda Blair in Airport. So he's got a nun next to him playing in dulcet tones.
Ew, the plops.
That's what happens when you're pregnant.
Nathan, you're going to have to tell us how we can get hold of it.
Okay, what else?
We're losing you again,
we're
Joseph.
We're losing you. Yes. You're sounding like Stephen Hawking being pushed down a hill into the distance.
That's not good.
Okay. Just pause it, please. I'm lost.
Look, we're trying to be professional in front of Gore Blimey, and you're just ruining the illusion that we're complete amateurs.
I thought you were going to say we haven't recorded then.
No,
I've just had 2 hours of that.
That was just the warm up. For goodness' sake, it's rehearsal.
Because we're so professional, we do a rehearsal first.
Well, thanks ever so much for asking me to come on this. It's been brilliant. It's been a really good experience, anyway.
He came on this.
Oh, Eric.
I often feel like Jan Brady.
I imagine.
Sort of cavernous echo, I would imagine.
Oh, my goodness, how rude.
Oh.